Another game where we like to invite people on with a specific area of expertise just to answer questions about something else entirely. Speaking of expertise, we rarely admit our own ignorance, but we, like everybody else, are totally confused by this whole financial crisis and the bailout. Where did all the money go? Why do we have to pay it back? And if we don't have any money, how are we supposed to pay it back? So we figured we'd turn to somebody who can make it all clear for us. Joe Nocera is an award-winning financial journalist, currently for the New York Times. He's a regular guest on Weekend Edition Saturday with Scott Simon. Joe, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Peter.
Great to have you here. Great to have you here. So let's get right to it. How screwed are we?
We are pretty darn screwed right now. I actually sing in my column that we are now reached the point where the political system has now matched the financial system for chaos, dysfunction, and just all around messed up.
Right. So are we at the point where you think we should be buying canned goods and filling up our bathtubs with water?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't go that far. I would say don't buy any more pools of mortgage-backed securities.
All right.
Key piece of advice.
All right, that's good. Because
I got a bathtub full of those.
All right. Yeah.
And they're probably worth as much as the ones on Wall Street.
There are so many mysteries about, I mean, let's just take this week's events with AIG.
Right.
Okay. AIG employees, or the people who worked in the same division that caused the whole mess, were going to get bonuses, may still get these bonuses, of more than $1 million. Even if they hadn't destroyed the world economy, what could any individual possibly do to be worth $1 million as a bonus? What do they do that's so amazing that they need to be paid that much money?
I think their response would be, and I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But I think what they would say is, look, we made these unbelievable, complicated, explosive securities, and they're so dangerous that only we can put on the flak vest and undetonate them to keep the world from collapsing. I think that's their answer, is that we rigged this thing so only we can unrig it. Therefore, if you don't pay us $1 million, as Dr. Eva once put it, we'll blow up the world.
So do you know any of these guys? Are they, in fact, evil?
Not the ones I know.
No, of course not. And does it ever bother them that they are making or have made millions of dollars for sitting in an office all day? Or is that
I got bad news for you,
yeah.
Peter.
Yeah.
They're not sorry about it.
They're not sorry about it.
They're really not. It's a problem, actually. It'd be nice if one of them kind of put their hands up and said, you know, gosh, America, I apologize. But it's kind of not the way they're wired.
During the period in which all this was being built up and all that money was supposedly being made, did these guys really think that they were actually doing something good, or did they think, I've got a scam going, and until somebody finds out, I'm golden?
Well, they didn't actually think either. What they really thought was, if I book these profits today, I'll get a big bonus tomorrow. The whole compensation system was rigged about booking money tomorrow and not caring what happens the day after. So nobody really thought about what was going to happen if housing prices ever actually fell, which, unfortunately, they finally did.
Right. So it wasn't like they were being evil. They were just being incredibly greedy and short-sighted.
Yes, exactly. You now have put your finger on, you know, you now understand the essence of Wall Street. You know, the famous quote by Chuck Prince, the former now deposed chief executive of Citibank, is, you know, as long as the music is going, you got to dance. And so, in other words, everybody knew the music was going to stop someday, but hopefully they'd all be rich.
Well, the band's on a break.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
What do they do with the money? I mean, they put so much at risk to make so much money. What do they do with it?
They buy Jaguars.
You can buy a Jaguar, you know, you can buy like a loaded Jaguar for $100,000. That leaves 10 million left. I mean, seriously.
They buy paintings, you know?
Right.
So they spend it. They buy, I don't know, wine. Yeah.
Yeah. Peter, your NPR is showing.
Apparently. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm curious about that. But I'm just curious, it's because these guys brought down the world economy, making these bad bets, booking
yes,
these profits that didn't exist. And what they got out of it is a timeshare in the Hamptons? Is this what it was all for?
No, they got to own their own house.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better. As long as they have equity, because I was worried about them.
No, it's terrible. I'm glad you can laugh about it.
There's been some criticism of the financial press. I'm going to exclude you, but do you think that criticism is justified, that all this was going on, these profits were inflated, this money was being taken, these profits were being booked, and we didn't read about it or certainly see it on TV while it was going on?
My whole theory on this is that during bullish times, people don't want to hear bad news, and during bearish times, people don't want to hear good news.
Right.
And so any story that was written during the good times that was negative, if you were the author, instead of people patting you on the back and saying, gee, thanks for warning me that the financial system's about to collapse, they would basically say, oh, you're an idiot. I'm buying more of that stock. And so, you know, the financial press didn't write a zillion stories about the problems, but they wrote some, for which they get no credit now. But they wrote a lot of bad stories, too. I mean, this is the way of the world.
Right. We want to hear, you mentioned that a little while ago, you said, you know, when there's bad times, nobody wants to hear any good news. Joe Nocera, we want to hear good news. So tell us some good news. What's good news in the world of finance?
Hello? Hello?
I'm sure there is some.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. Lawyers, they're doing well.
Lawyers are doing okay.
This is supposed to be a funny show, isn't it?
Well,
we're trying here.
We're doing our best.
It's funny to watch you squirm.
One last question. As a man who knows all the secrets, you've been covering finance for years and years, where do you put your money?
Oh, I'm really lucky.
Yeah.
Because I work for the New York Times.
Yes.
I have to put my money in a blind trust.
Uh-huh.
And what that means is I don't know how much I've lost. It's fantastic.
That's great. You can just imagine it whatever you want. That's fabulous.
That's right.
I'm a millionaire. In my mind.
Actually, I work for the New York Times.
You're not a millionaire. I'm a thousandaire.
Well, they, you know, if it's true that all humor is rooted in tragedy, we got a good thing growing.
Yeah. Well, Joe Nocera, we're delighted to have you with us. We thank you for the insights, but we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
You're guilty on 137 counts, which is pretty darn guilty.
This week...
Sounds like AIG.
In fact, but not. This week, a jury convicted Pennsylvania State Senator Vincent Fumo of 137 counts of corruption and misuse of public funds, setting a record in Pennsylvania, which is saying something for corruption. We're going to ask you three questions about Mr. Fumo's life and times. Get two right, you'll win our prize for our listener, Carl, on the voicemail, promising a kickback. So, Carl, who is financial journalist Joe Nocera playing for?
Joe is playing for Brooke Wilkinson of Hamilton, Virginia.
All right, ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. First question, Mr. Fumo once spent $6,500 of taxpayers' funds laundered via state grants to his own nonprofit group to pay for what? A, 19 OREC vacuum cleaners, one on each floor of each of his homes. B, a, quote, fact-finding trip to explore the state of deep-sea fishing on St. Bart's in the Caribbean. Or C, two Armani suits because, quote, the public expects their leaders to be fashion-forward, unquote.
I'd say C.
You're going to go for C, the two Armani suits. No, it was actually the vacuum cleaners, 19 of them.
Oh, my God.
It was paid for by Fumo's group, the Citizens Alliance for Better Neighborhoods.
Apparently, he had a 19-room house?
He had a number of houses which had multiple floors, and when you counted up all his homes and all their floors, you had 19.
See, you didn't tell me that.
I didn't tell you that. I'm sorry. I misled you, much like AIG. I'm learning. All right. He not only spent the public's money, he also liked to employ public servants to their fullest capacity. One of his Senate aides complained to his colleagues about having to do what? A, clean the bathroom right before the boss arrived each and every time because he liked it to, quote, smell like he's the first one ever in there, unquote. B, wrap 150 Vincent Fumo bobblehead dolls for gifting purposes. Or C, go to Mr. Fumo's home and stir his oatmeal for 15 minutes while the senator read the paper.
I'm going to go with C on that one, too.
Stirring the oatmeal.
Yeah.
Senate staffer paid for by the state of Pennsylvania, stirring the oatmeal. It's a beautiful thought, but no, the Senate staffer paid for by the people of Pennsylvania had to rop the bobblehead dolls.
Oh, my God.
Yes, they were also known...
Send this guy to jail.
Well, apparently your wish will come true.
Or at least bail him out.
Last question. It is absolutely not true that Fumo's group, the Citizens Alliance for Better Neighborhoods, only took care of Fumo's personal needs. Why, once it spent $50,000 to help build what? A, a greenhouse behind the house of Fumo's college roommate. B, a bronze statue of a dog. Or C, a nutritional study to prove that cheesesteaks are not, in fact, bad for you.
A B.
The bronze statue of a dog. You're correct.
Yes.
You see, Fumo wanted the political support of the mayor of Bristol, Pennsylvania, and the mayor wanted to put up a bronze statue of a war dog. So Fumo, or rather, the Citizens Alliance for Better Neighborhoods, wrote the guy a check. But even Fumo wrote in an email, quote, "Isn't that a lot of money for a statue of a dog?" Carl, how did Joe Nocera do in our quiz?
Joe's game is like the economy, Peter, in the tank. But he had one correct answer, but that was not enough to win for Brooke Wilkinson.
I'm sorry, Brooke.
Joe Nocera is an award-winning business journalist. You can read his column in the New York Times, and you can hear him on NPR's Weekend Edition with Scott Simon on Saturday mornings. Joe Nocera, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.